Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome. And we're going to start like we normally do. Just your first name, what city or state you're in, and who you're grieving. Okay. Rosa, I'll start with you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rosa. I live in central New Jersey, and I'm grieving the loss of my mom.
Welcome, Rosa. Steve?
Hi, I'm Steve. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm grieving the loss of my spouse, Kathy.
Welcome, Steve. Betty?
Hi, I'm Betty from Orange, Virginia, and I'm grieving the loss of my husband, Jake.
Welcome, Betty. Fernan?
Hi, my name is Fernan. I'm in Michigan, and I'm grieving the loss of my mother and father.
Welcome, Fernan. Jenny O?
Hi, Jenny in Brooklyn, New York, and I'm grieving the loss of my spouse.
Welcome, Jenny. Jenny Rogers.
Hi, I'm Jenny, and I'm in Miami, Florida, and I'm grieving the loss of my husband.
Welcome, Jenny. Zoom user? I think that, Donna? Yep. Yeah, you're mute. Go ahead. Yep, so you're, yep, you got it.
Okay. Donna, I'm in St. Augustine, Florida, and I'm grieving the loss of a longtime friend.
Welcome, Donna. And Vanka?
Hi, I'm Vanka. I'm in Windermere, California, and I'm grieving the loss of my partner.
Welcome, Vanka. And Mark?
I'm Mark from Indiana. I'm grieving the loss of my husband and my oldest sister.
Welcome, Mark. And Steve, did I get you already? Okay, we're good. Jenny, you want to tell us a little bit about your loss? Oh, Jenny O.
Oh, okay. There's two Jenny. Yeah. I just lost my, technically ex-husband of 29 years this past April. So it's still halfway through my first year. I mean, his health was declining, but it was very sudden. And I really didn't know what to expect. You know, we went to the hospital and I just was preparing for a full recovery, but it didn't turn out that way. So it's been a struggle, but I really appreciate these groups. It helps me to talk with other people having common experiences. Thank you.
And Jenny O, had you participated in virtual groups before, in Zoom groups before?
Yeah, before this group, I was with Grief Share, and then I came to this group as well. And yeah, I mean, there's different kinds. This group has a lot of good people and different nights for different types of grieving. So I thought it was pretty useful. Yeah.
Great. Welcome, Jenny. Thank you for sharing that. Steve, you want to share a little bit about your loss?
Sure. We had been together about 22 years. We were technically just engaged. We were planning to get married at the end and in the summer, and she never got well enough to go down and get the license. And it never occurred to me during the middle of COVID that you might be able to waive it. But she didn't want to go to the hospital and didn't want to go. And finally, when I got her to go, they said, you know, she got a 1 in a million infection and she got a bunch of other machines hooked up. And it was 16 hours from the hour she got left here in the ambulance to the hour that they told me she's gone. And it was pretty sudden. It was pretty tragic. It was pretty ugly. And yet at the end of the day, I mean, somebody pointed me to this group 2 weeks later, and I can't thank God enough for that. Because this place is a safe haven of, it doesn't matter if we're black or white or polka dotted or striped. It doesn't matter if you're gay or straight or in between or what spec, who knows? Nobody cares what your job is. Everybody who comes to this room is a bleeding heart who has been hurt by the loss of somebody they cared for deeply. And everybody here just accepts you as the person with a bleeding heart, and you're part of the crowd. And I can't say enough good things about this group, Augusto. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And Steve, had you participated in virtual groups before?
No, just work meetings.
Work. Yeah, same. Thank you, Steve. Jenny Rogers?
Hi. Yeah, I lost my husband in January. We were separated. We had been separated for a number of years, but still legally married and still best friends. And we lived near, close by to each other. We have a son together who's 23 who lives with me. He passed away very unexpectedly overnight. They believe of a heart attack. It was just very hard. It was very hard. I knew something was wrong because he wasn't responding to my calls that morning. And he always answered his phone and he wasn't answering his phone. So I knew something was wrong. And I was in a work meeting and I downtown, and I finally decided I'm just going to go over to his house. And while I was driving to his house, I got a call from the police, and they just asked if I could come there. And I didn't even ask them what was wrong. I said, is he okay? And they said, no, he's not. And I didn't ask if he was alive. I guess I didn't want to know. I don't know. But it was the worst drive of my life. I spent 15 minutes in traffic on the car driving to his house, not knowing if he was dead or alive. I was actually kind of hoping that he had had an altercation with the police or something, and he was under arrest. That would have been the preferable. He had a bit of a temper sometimes and could get himself in trouble. But when I got there, I learned that he was dead, and he was actually found by a client of his who he always showed up for. Where he was a dog walker, he showed up this woman's house every day for like 3 years, and he didn't show up that morning. And she, knew something was wrong also, and went over and she found him. And then I had to call my son, and it was just crazy. It was just a crazy, crazy day. And, this is the first time I've talked about it in depth like this again for a while. I still kind of, I'm in shock about how insane it was. Now it's been months and I'm still going through things, and it just keeps changing. And I'm really grateful, for this group. I've been in therapy. I went and got a therapist because I knew enough to know that I needed help. And I'm very grateful for this group and for my therapist. I'm also in a recovery program, so I've had that as the support as well. And all of those things together have been a great comfort. But this group is where people understand, and when everybody else has stopped talking about it, you can still talk about it here, because, after a month or so, it's like people stop asking you how you're doing. And here people ask how you're doing. Augusto asks us every week, how are you doing? And that's really nice. It's really nice to have somebody ask and know that you're still grieving. And so I appreciate that.
Now, Jenny, thank you. And Jenny, how you said you had to tell your son, how are things there with your son?
And he's the grieving okay. Process. It's been hard for him. He had just left college and was struggling because he's in his 20s. He doesn't know what to do. And he took over his father's business, which, was really hard. But he's been dealing with the loss, too. He finally just recently, like about a month ago, started coming to the group. And it's been good for him, too, because he realized he needed to talk to some people about it, somebody other than just me. So I was really grateful that this was here for him as well. And, a friend of mine told me about this group, and And I just, I'm so grateful to them. It was actually a mother and daughter who had lost, the daughter had lost her boyfriend. And they told me about this group. And about a month ago, the mother passed away. And and I reached out to the daughter and I said, you know, you need to start coming back to the groups. She said she was going to, because she was the one who told me. So anyway, it's like, it's just been a godsend. So
thank you. No, thank you, Jenny. Hey, Mark, you've gone through multiple losses. You know what? Go ahead. Yeah, you're on mute, Mark. Let me get you.
There we go.
Yeah.
It wouldn't unmute. I lost my husband in July of 2021. We've been together 25 years. We had just kind of really started planning for retirement. He was going to be able to retire coming up. And we bought a house on a lake a couple hours north or south of us. And had all kind of plans, and we spent 4th of July weekend. It was a great weekend. Went home. I was going to go to work the next day. The dogs woke me up at 3 in the morning. I let them out. I went to tell Chuck that I'd let them out, and I found him dead on the floor. So there was that, and then I had all kind of health issues at the end of 2021, beginning of 2022, and then my sister passed away here a couple months ago. So she was a big supporter of ours. She's the one that introduced us to this lake where we've got the lake house now. And so she was one of the people we spent the last weekend with, actually. So it's been different. That's the best way I can describe it. It's different.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Rosa, how about you?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I lost my mom. It's actually 4.5 years ago. It was in the spring of 2018. And we were never separated till that day. I was my mom's only child. My dad remarried when I was really young, and I have 8 beautiful brothers and sisters, but from my mom, it was just me. So we were always together, never separated. She used to say that I was the center of her world, but she was the center of my world. As much as I love my dad, and I love my siblings, and I love my nieces and nephews, but she was everything to me. I didn't do anything without running it by her. Every job interview that I went to, she was my biggest supporter in everything that I did. She was the one who encouraged me to, you know, just get out there. And, you know, I was offered a job in New York, and I was like, oh no, I can't take the train. I can't go in that city. They'll eat me up alive. They'll spit me back out. I can't. And my mother took me to all the job interviews, like literally waited for me in the lobby. And then, you know, and then on the first day of the job, she walked me, and, you know, on the train, we took the train from New Jersey to New York. And just everything was such a supporter of every one of my dreams, my, you know, just. We just had a beautiful, beautiful relationship. We had so many, you know, we got to travel. I got to take her out to a couple of places. And she had CFS, congestive heart failure, COPD. My mother was a seamstress, so she sewed her entire life. And from all of the threads and all of the dust in the factories, it just damaged her lungs. And she also had diverticulitis and aphid. And at the end, it was one thing that triggered the other, And for 7 months, it was just like one minute we were fine. We had plans. We were going to go travel to Cuba to visit our family. And the next minute, my mom's in the hospital. And then it just, for 7 months, it was surreal. I'm just blessed and lucky. It happened before COVID, so I was able to take care of her at home. I'm one of the, I've joined this group over a year ago, actually at the height of COVID, and hearing those devastating stories of people that lost their loved ones and weren't there, and people that had to put their loved ones in an ambulance and never saw them again. And a lot of my mom's friends passed away like that. So a lot of my friends now have lost their parents in that horrible situation that you saw them through the window of the rehab center or through a hospital window, and you never saw them again. And I was one of the lucky ones that I took care of my mom for 7 months. The last month we did hospice at home, and I was there when she took her last breath. She literally, I inhaled it. I was right on her face talking to her, and it was such a beautiful moment. But at that, I love what, I think it was Jenny who said, you know, after a month, people stop asking you, hey, how are you doing? And I had an amazing support group. I'm very active in my church, different groups, and they were amazing. And my family, my siblings, but after a month, nobody wants to hear about Mima anymore or how I miss her. So, you know, I had to kind of like keep going. One of the things that helped me was I discovered as I was cleaning my mom's stuff that apparently she loved butterflies. Never talked about it, but you know what? In hindsight, I realized she had butterflies all over. Why didn't I ever ask her, hey, mom, what's up with all the butterflies? She had, she used to do cross stitch. So she did pillows with butterflies, which I have in my room. Everything had butterflies. And then I realized, oh my God, my mom loved butterflies. So I just started getting butterfly lights, butterfly this, and as a way of like constantly, I just look over and, you know, I know that it just constantly reminds me, and it gives me peace. Same thing with lights. My mom loved lights, Christmas lights, all kinds of lights. We have a balcony. It's, I think she can, if she's by Pluto, she knows that's our balcony. Every night I look out and I do the sky with the app, and I'm like, oh, that's Jupiter. Ma, if you're there, look, Christmas lights are on, you know, and that's what helps me. That, and this group, and I remember it was hard getting back, you know, into life. And like you see everybody moving on, and now I have to move on. I have a job. I have to, you know, keep working, keep doing this. And then, but I found this group, and it has been, it's a safe place. I can talk about Mima and nobody rolls their eyes like, oh my God, here she goes again. You know, and it's, this is my safe zone. This is my family. And I'm just so grateful. And there's times that I really can't really talk much. And then other times, you know, you have to kind of like say, you know, switch off. No, never. But, you know, it's been interesting, like moving. Last week, somebody said, we don't move on from the person, we move forward, and we bring them with. That was such a huge thing for me. I'm like, you know what? I haven't forgotten my mom. I'm still going forward, and her essence, her love is eternal. Her love is pushing me forward. I sometimes used to be like, she's never gonna know about this. I just started a new job, but I'm like, no, yes, she does, because her love is with me. Her memories are here. So she lives on, kind of like Titanic. My heart will. you got to do what you got to do to get by those rough days, you know. And she had a cat, and he meant the world to me. And then he passed away, and it was like, oh my God, I've lost all. You know, I'm a little dramatic. I've lost all ties to my mom. And then I realized, no, I didn't. There's so much of her. We joke around at the group meetings because my mom left behind 5 sewing machines, and they're still here. So she's here. And yeah, but I'm just grateful to you guys and how you guys support me and you hear me and you let me talk and you let me talk about my mom, and just grateful, you know. And for anyone that is going through this, that's new to this grief, for me, it's 4.5 years. And sometimes I can get the day by and I barely thought about it. And then out of the blue, a smell, a scent, her scent is still embedded in here. I dream about her all the time. And then those are going to be rocky days when I have dreams about her. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not so good, if it's a nightmare. But I know that I can always reach out to someone. And I know that I'm not the only one going through this. And I know that I'm not, like, I know that even though it's 4.5 years, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not stuck. There's no time period for grieving. And it's, and actually grieving for me, it's almost like it's my own. It's something that I own, you know. It's mine. And so I cherish it. And when I feel like really broken up, I'll be like, damn, Mima, I really love you. The fact that I'm over here, still carrying on with this, you meant the world to me. You are the center of my universe. So I just wanted to share that. And you know what? Just keep going. 4.5 years, the holidays are hard, but you're going to make it through. It's like a nightmare. You wake up and then the whole day I feel like really bogged down, but I know I'm going to go back to sleep. And then the next day we start fresh again. You know, and when we're having a bad moment, stop, breathe. I'll go outside. I'll take a walk. I'll listen. I actually keep a little journal. I'll send her a note. I'm big on movies, so I do P.S. I love you. You know, oh, Mima, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, P.S. te quiero, you know. And, you know, just find the things that are, you know, that are going to help you make it through those days. And we will.
Thank you. No, thank you, Rosa. And Fernand, I saw you shaking your head there and several points with when Rosa was sharing. Any thoughts? And I know you also have gone through multiple losses.
Briefly about me. So background, both my parents my dad got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis about 20 years ago. And my mom's been sick. She had lupus, colon cancer. She was actually paralyzed from the waist down when I was a senior in high school, malpractice. But so that for most of my life, they've been kind of ill. Fast forward, my mom got a infection at the beginning of April. My sister found her. She was unresponsive. And they found out that she was, you know, she had lost consciousness for too long. So her brain, you know, was atrophying and whatnot. So we were going to have the decision to, you know, take her off life support. Subsequently, my dad had a massive stroke in January. So we have his power of attorney. So then that's me and my sister's, you know, job to do that. And then, cause he's at the rehab place, that, you know, you go tell my dad that I'm going to go pull the plug on mom and hope that he understood, you know, what I was saying. So my mom passed away April 19th this year, which also is my wedding anniversary. So that's kind of terrible. And then my dad, we actually took him out the facility and we rolled him in there, you know, because he was married to her for 45 years. So that was his whole world.
Wow.
And we knew, like, it wasn't going to be, like, he just regressed. He stopped talking. When I'd go visit him, he would just, you know, like, look at the wall. So he died exactly 4 weeks from when my mom died, May 17th this year. So going through that, fortunately, like, I knew I had to do something. I never had any experience with online or any sort of mental health, you know, talk about how you feel. I mean, that's like, I'm not socialized to do that, right? Like, as a man, but I just knew, like, this, like, no, I have to do something. And it's been very beneficial. And it resonated with me when you were talking, Rosa, about, you know, your mom. And like, you know, you think about like how much you miss them, because there was so much business that had to be done with, as far as, you know, planning and doing things with the house. You know, I got a new job at a new company. Like, so I was like just going off inertia for a while. And I don't say like it wasn't real, because it was real, but it didn't really hit me. It didn't really start hitting me probably, honestly, for like probably like the last couple months. And so it's been tough, but this group has really been helpful because you know that people understand. And I love that story when you talked about how your mom supported you and took you to the your job interview. It made me think. So my mom's really sweet. And she always wrote me like the longest, like 9-page text messages on my birthday about like how great I was. So I was the only boy. I have two sisters. So, I mean, I was her favorite. She never said it, but I was. And then I just think, you know, my birthday is December 31st and I'm not going to get a text message this year. So, and that's a bummer, but
wait,
it's, you know, when you come to a place like this, you can share and, you know, people will get it, right? And you don't got to worry about burdening folks or, you know, anything like that. So I'm super grateful for the support. And, you know, like Steve said, it doesn't matter, you know, your background or walk life, you know, you can just come as you are and share and, you know, work on, you know, and dealing with your grief. So I'm thankful for it.
Thank you, Fernand. I just got a text from Rosa that she's starting a group text here about writing you a 15-page text from all of us on December 31st. Funny. So everybody, you got to mark that down. December 31st, we're writing 15 pages. Okay, so we got to come up with something on there. No, Fernand, thank you for sharing that. And Fernand, I remember, you know, I couldn't believe. When you first came into the group and you said, and I started a new job today, I couldn't even imagine, you know, opening the text from a regular, you know, going into a whole new setting was, is incredible. So thank you. Thanks for sharing that. And Donna, I saw you shaking your hand a little bit when he was sharing some of that.
Yes. So my friend, Cindy, we met each other when we were 6 years old. So we were about 3 years shy of a 5-decade friendship.
Wow.
And I mean, to say that we spent a lot of time together and we lived together in several different cities, for very long periods of time. So we definitely spent a lot of time together. And back in January, it was her third bout with cancer. She had fourth stage melanoma, and she had fought it twice before and won. And then this time around, she had been bedridden for a couple of months. So I had started to go over and spend more time with her anytime that I could since January. And, by March, I mean, she had been bedridden for a while. She would get up and take a shower because she had to go to a doctor's appointment, and then she would have to go back and lay down and take a nap before she went to the appointment, because just taking the shower, walking to the shower and walking back to her bed was so exhausting. And then she started a new treatment and things were looking up. She was up walking around more. The tumors were shrinking. The medication was working really well. And she was asked to go into a clinical trial, and we all begged her to do it. And so she finally agreed to do it. And she walked through the doors of the hospital, dancing in there, saying, "See you in 3 weeks." And I just won. Massive complication after another from the moment she stepped through those doors. I mean, she got thrush almost instantly. The chemo shut down multiple organs at a time. They called in hospice a couple of different times, and every time she would bounce back. But then she, you know, she came to and she couldn't swallow, and so we knew it was getting close to the end, and she had a mild heart attack, and then she had a stroke, and I mean, it was just awful. And being there from January until September 13th, which was the day she died, as often as I could, it was exhausting, but I would have never changed it for the world. Everything that I was able to do for her, to clean up after her, to change her sheets, whatever she needed me to do, I was there for. And she was my best friend. And it was hard. And I had been in other groups before, not virtual. I was with an Al-Anon group because I had a qualifier who, anyway, but it wasn't a virtual group. But finding this one was a godsend for me. I knew before she even passed away that I was going to need to reach out, because that feeling of knowing that you're not alone is super important. And I've known that from past experiences. And when you surround yourself with other people who are grieving and going through their own situations, knowing you're not alone is extremely helpful. And I'm not only doing this group, but I'm actually looking for a second group, because 3 weeks after Cindy passed away, I found out I have colon cancer. And so I'm looking for another group that's virtual to also be a part of, because I understand how important this is to be able to be a part of something so much bigger than yourself, and getting energy from other people and pulling strength from other people and giving your strength to other people when they need it. It's very important. So I am so grateful that I found this group, and I know I've missed a couple, but it was for surgery or whatever. But I don't plan to miss very many more, because every week when I do come to one of these and I hear other people and I get to share myself as well, I feel stronger, and I know I can make it another couple of weeks or another couple of days until I come and see everybody again. So I'm so grateful to be a part of this.
Thank you. No, thank you, Donna. And we wish you, the best in what you're going through there. Okay. So keep us posted.
Okay.
And Nelson was all shaking your hand when shaking his head when you were saying some of those things. Nelson, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just crazy to hear people's stories. Just some people in here I haven't heard their stories, or I haven't even met yet. And I'm grateful to be able to hear their experiences and know what they're going through as well. I started this group. Probably it's going to be a year now I started this group. Forgot the last individual that was speaking. I think it was like Fernan or something. I think she said something about starting a new job or whatever.
Yeah.
So I started going to therapy when I started going to therapy when my uncle moved away. My uncle works for IBM. Long story short, he's been there for like 35 years. The company had him move, or not, he wouldn't be able to retire. Long story short, we have a very small family. It's just my grandmother, me, my grandfather, and my uncle. I know some people may not know, but I'm a chef. I work 70 hours a week. This is probably the only group that allows me to come in with 5 minutes left on the clock, 10 minutes left on the clock, 20 minutes left on the clock. I could be 8:59. And I'm still let in, where there's other groups that if I'm a minute late, I'm not let in. My work schedule is extremely hectic. I only have one day off, which is Monday. And I'm at work from 8 to 9 when I come to this group. And You know, Glossa has definitely made it so easy and convenient for me to just stick my head in, say what I have to say, relate to everybody, and continue about my day at work. You know, I may shut off the camera, but I'm still listening. And, you know, so with that being said, you know, I started going to therapy when my uncle moved because it was just me and my grandmother. And then, you know, my uncle moved. And then a couple months later, the nurse aide that takes care of my grandparents gave both of my grandmother and my grandfather COVID. My grandmother was 91. My grandfather just turned 90. My grandmother had a leaking heart valve, which was an underlying issue. Nurse aide didn't have her vaccine, wasn't a second vaccine, wasn't wearing her mask properly, and gave my grandmother COVID and my grandfather COVID. My grandmother wound up in the hospital. I mean, this is like 6 months, it hasn't even been 6 months that my uncle moved, started his new job, you know, his new field and at his new job in IBM, bought a house, North Carolina. And this is like, literally hasn't even been 6 months and all this has happened. And I remember prior going to therapy, this was my fear of, God forbid something happened, like, how can I respond faster? I'm at work, you know, like, it was just it's a situation where that safety net is gone. You're just solely, you know, they rely on just you. So with that being said, my grandma passed away January 20th of 2022 in my arms. I was there every day at the nursing home, 15 hours, 12 hours. And it was one of the most hardest things to go through. My grandma raised me since I was 8 years old, and I dedicated my grandparents' life before mine. So I work with country clubs. I'm off during the winter from November 1st to March to be there for them. My grandma used to go to nursing homes throughout the whole winter. She used to have back problems. She had a little dementia, a little Alzheimer's, where I would have to go from 9 to 1, bring my grandfather from 1 to 5, and then my uncle will go from 5 to 9, but she was never left alone. And the biggest gift she gave me was love and the opportunity to have a mother. And I lost her. Can't believe it's going to be a year almost in 2 months, but you know, I lost her. And on that week, I came to this group 4 days later. And without this group, I probably wouldn't have made it to where I was today. And I know when I finished my season at work, I thanked everybody, you know, from the bottom of my heart for just being so understanding and sharing what they went through. And, you know, sometimes I come in this group and I can talk a lot of positivity and I can uplift you. But, you know, sometimes after that phone call hangs up, it's hard to follow through with my own words, the advice that you give other people. And I remember Rosa said something in the beginning. She's like, you know, I really feel bad for Nelson because, like, the days he works so much. And, like, those days that he's off, like, it's going to hit him because he doesn't really have time to grieve. Because I had to go back to work 2 weeks later after I lost my grandmother. I had some health complications. I had double cataract surgery. I caught COVID. My grandfather had some procedures. My dog just beat cancer. So it was a lot going on. And I always kept in the back of my mind, you know, her saying that to kind of like reflect back on that, that one day that I was off on Monday, I really wouldn't let that grieving really affect me because it was like my only day to relax. So it's like, do I relax or do I just grieve and be miserable? Because already I have to, you know, hide the pain at work, working 75 hours. So, you know, this group has just been nothing but a safe haven of emotions and feelings, non-judgmental. You know, like somebody says, you can be Black, blue, yellow, green, it don't matter what you are. You know, at the end of the day, this place has saved people's lives and has changed people's lives and, you know, has just really brought a lot of people together from different places of the world and earth. And like I always say, we're in the same ocean, just different boats. You might be going the same path or you might not be going the same path, but we're all in the same place. So it's good to come here and be able to express ourselves and, you know, stick together as a community and have people cheer us up. You know, I was having a bad day today. Rose over here, you know, had some good things to say that made me laugh and smile. You know, so did a lot of other people. And for all the people I've never met, maybe I've seen you in a group or two. I'm very sorry for your loss as well. My condolences to everybody, but you know, coming here was the best thing I can do.
Nelson, the things that you were saying about Rosa said some good things. Are you talking about when she said she was afraid of going into New York City?
Yeah, the New York City thing, the, you know, the also part of, what was it? Her hijacking our group chats, never letting us speak. One thing I love about Rosa, and I don't know if she knows, I used to live 10 years in Miami. And when I lived in Miami, I lived in Little Havana. So Rosa reminds me of, you know, just the Cuban culture that I miss. You know, I have a lot of friends down there that are Cuban, Gaucho, like, you know, just like the whole culture. She reminds me, you know, I do have a kind of another life back in Miami for 10 years that I lived, though. So it's always good to see her energy and stuff like that.
Hey, and also you had good news recently, right, with the your puppy?
Yeah, that's another thing. This group, it doesn't even, you know, this group cares about more than just us as individuals. After, you know, my season finished out of work, my dog had some mass tumors on her. I didn't think anything serious of it. You know, Augusto will tell you I was praying for this season to be over after losing my grandmother. And they came back, but they were cancerous. Her stitches reopened up on like Thanksgiving weekend. Excuse my language, it was a mess, craziness. And then they reclosed him. And then that Monday after Black Friday, $4,000 later after out of pocket, they messaged me that my dog was cancer free. So, yeah.
So that's good. That's good. Good to hear, Nelson. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for always asking, though, you know, even about my grandpa. Now about my dog, it just shows what type of person you are.
Well, I think, I mean, also both your grandfather, of course, but, you know, pets are such an important thing to all of us, you know, that when you were sharing that after everything you've gone through, I thought, wow, that's not an easy road, but really, really great to hear that came out all right, man. Betty, any thoughts on what Nelson was sharing and some of the other folks? Go ahead, Betty.
I lost my husband in May, to a brain tumor. He was diagnosed and, lost within 6 weeks. So for me, everything happened very quickly and it was pretty traumatic. And, I find the groups helpful and very comforting just to be able to be in the presence of people who are going through what I'm going through. I don't always talk a lot, but I listen because I find it very helpful to just to listen to everybody else's stories and find out how they're individually dealing with things and coping and pretty much learning how to get through things that way.
Got it. Thank you, Betty. And Ivanka, you also had traumatic loss, like Betty was sharing. Any thoughts on what Betty shared or other folks here have shared?
Yes. I lost my fiance November the 26th, 2021 to gun violence. And with younger generation, there's like a leading cause right now. This group have helped me and also found materials and tools to use for my daughter as well, especially being a young mom and a young single mom now. It's definitely helped out a lot. So if you know, having a bad day, this is your time to unwind, to kind of get some alone time and self-care time, because a lot of people say self-care is going out, but a lot of times I use these as time to kind of get it off my chest, kind of, you know, get to speak with people that are going through what I'm going through, and that also can get feedback, positive feedback.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you, Vanka. And Vanka, you also, you had a big move in the middle of going through grief, but you had a major move altogether, geographic move. How has that been?
It's been great. Not so many reminders. A lot of people say you shouldn't move in the first, but I did. I did what was best for me and my daughter. So we're getting used to things. It's kind of hard getting used to things, but it's definitely worth it because you get to be around people that love you and support you, and you don't have to do it alone. So that's a win.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you, Vanka. Hey, Herb, you want to share a little bit about your loss?
Yes. It was on the 4th of July in 2019 that my wife was sitting on the sofa and I was heading out up to the wood shop. And I normally walk out the door and I'll say, I'm leaving now. And she'll say something like, well, where are you going, or what time are you getting back? And this time she did not say anything. And I went over to her and she was snoring, except she wasn't snoring. She was doing agonal breathing. And I realized that I had a serious problem on my hand. So I called 911. I opened the front door so they could get in. And then I started doing CPR. And for about 6 minutes, I was a caregiver. The EMT showed up. They worked on her. The paddles, the injections, everything that they had at their bailiwick. Supposedly got a pulse, loaded her in the ambulance and took her to the hospital. I went up to the hospital and the doctor told me that they were doing CPR and wanted to know if I wanted to go down to the room where she was, and I did. They were doing CPR, and from the time I started to the time I got there and they had been working on her was probably in the vicinity of an hour, maybe an hour and 10 minutes, well beyond the number of 45 minutes for CPR. So they showed me some indications on a screen. Things were not good. Things were not coming back. And I basically realized that even if she did come back, quality of life was not going to be there. So I told them to stop the CPR. And they told me I could stay in the room as long as I wanted to. They pulled the curtains. And then eventually I left and went home. And that was the 4th of July. There will never be another 4th of July that I will ever enjoy. I can go on. I can go forward. I will not move on, but I will go forward and make progress, but not on 4th of July.
Herb, and how long were you together?
44 years.
Wow. Wow, Herb.
Well, I'm sorry. We were married for 44 years. We were together for 47 years.
That's incredible. Wow. And Herb, you know, you shared something that I think a lot of us really gain from you in terms of, you know, in getting through a day, you know, when we're having like many of us have, you know, whether we have a grief attack, a bad day, how do you get through yours?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Yeah, one of the things you shared earlier was, we were talking about how, man, you know, when we're going through a bad day, we're having just a grief attack. Maybe it's just a day that's bringing back a lot of memories, you know, and, you know, you shared with the group some of what you do every day, you know, and it just helped to bring perspective to many of us on some of the things that can be done when we're going through that. You want to share a little bit about you?
Sure thing. I get up every morning, put my feet on the floor, and then I turn around and make my bed. And I know at that point, if I do nothing else for the rest of the day, I have accomplished one thing. Then I'll head out, get the newspaper, go to the library, read the comics, get dressed, and about a mile away, there's a state forest from us. And I walk the trail. I go in 2 miles and I come back 2 miles. So I get 4 miles a day, just plain old hiking. And that way, at least I get in my 10,000 steps on my Fitbit if I remember to charge it. Whatever else I get done during the rest of the day is all plus and positive for me.
No, that's great. Herb, thank you. Everybody, we're at the end of our time tonight, but great discussion.